One of the old Puritan preachers reminds us that it is a known experiment that the more spiritual any truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And how we see that in this world today, that the more spiritual a truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And why is that? It is because of our carnal nature. It is because of the outworking of that carnal nature that men do not desire to know and to experience and to live according to the truth of God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm delighted to have you joining with us as we desire to bring the truth of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to your heart and to your soul. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the first part of the sermon entitled A Necessary Exhortation to Truth. Truth is important, and we are to hold fast to the truth that God has revealed to us in His Word.
Returning in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs 19, and we will read from verse 23. We'll have a short reading this morning. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The Word of God says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will be were. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of His precious word this morning. One of the old Puritan preachers reminds us that it is a known experiment that the more spiritual any truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And how we see that in this world today, that the more spiritual a truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And why is that? It is because of our carnal nature. It is because of the outworking of that carnal nature that men do not desire to know and to experience and to live according to the truth of God. The book of Proverbs reminds us much about truth, and we have preached here in Proverbs not so long ago. We have preached regarding truth from this book, but it does remind us to buy the truth and sell it not. It reminds us to let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And Proverbs 16 tells us, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." And there is this reminder then in the book of Proverbs that there is truth, that there is knowledge that is truth. But in the text that we have before us, and I want to draw your attention to Proverbs 19, verse 27, we see here that the Word of God says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." There is knowledge, and knowledge, true knowledge, is emphasized here as error being that which makes one depart from the words of knowledge. And we are to desire knowledge. We are to desire true knowledge, that knowledge that is found in and through Christ, in and through the Word of God. And when we approach the Scriptures of truth, we are reminded that they are indeed the Scriptures of truth. We're not to forsake the Word of God, but rather our lives are to be lived according to God's truth. That is what being a Christian, we could say, is all about. We seek to live according to the Word of God to glorify His name. We seek to live according to the Word of God to glorify His name. That incorporates salvation and our redemption and our sanctification and our living for Christ and our service for Christ. We seek to implement in our lives the instruction and knowledge of God's Word in order to glorify Him. And dear believer, that is where you and I should be today. That is what is expected of us, that the Word of God, that which is infallible, inerrant, that which has no mistakes, that truth that is the answer to the world's problems and man's sin, that that truth governs every aspect of our lives. There is that connection because that truth brings us closer to Christ. That truth has indeed brought us to Christ and pointed us to Christ for salvation, but it brings us closer to Christ day by day. It's a truth that we should desire. A truth that we should desire. I mean, we could say that, well, if you've been busy, and if perhaps your spouse is feeling that work has come before them, and you've been busy working, there hasn't been much time for family, what do? You seek to resolve that by spending time with your family, by setting aside an evening, a day, to spend time with your spouse, to spend time with your family, to take, as it were, that break, to put effort into that relationship. And of course, if that were to go unchecked, then the relationship between you, your family, may hit something of a bumpy or rocky road. The best way to deal with that is to spend time with your family. And what is the best way to deal with the issues and the problems and the trials that we have in life? It is to spend time with the Savior, to get to know Him better, to be found in His Word, to seek that direction from Him. And the truth of God is absolutely vital. This is another proverb in verse 27 that brings us to consider again and afresh the importance and the vital necessity of knowing the truth of God. I want you to read the verse again. Verse 27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." This is a loving thing. Cease, my son. Cease, my son. A father is lovingly directing his child. Son, this is what you need to do to know the blessing of God, to know that instruction that will bless you, to know that truth that will affect your heart for God. Son, you need to cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. This is a loving thing. Many today don't take rebukes very well. They have a bad attitude. They really want to get alone with God and contemplate their errors out of pride and out of whatever it might be that is found within their hearts. They do not want to be rebuked. They do not want their way to be challenged. And that can be difficult for you and I to be told that we are to cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err. That instruction may be from someone we love. It may be from someone we respect. It might be from a source that we appreciate. But yet we are to cease from hearing such instruction that will negatively impact our lives and our thoughts. We can rise up and rage against it. But here we're found, cease, my son. Cease, my son. There's this fatherly rebuke. There's this love that immerses this instruction to cease from error. Dear believer, today, are you found in error? Are you found hearing instruction, listening to that which is not of God? Whether that is found in the world, whether that is secular thought and philosophy that is coming upon you and your heart and your mind, whether that is instruction from those that seek or profess to be believers, and there is error mixed in with their truth. Are you listening? Are you being influenced by these things? The Word of God says we are to cease to hear such instruction. And to know the blessing of God, we are to cease. And so I want us to consider this morning a most necessary exhortation to truth. A most necessary exhortation to truth. We have 3 points. Those points are found in the bulletin. And the first one is consider the instruction. Consider the instruction. We are to cease to hear the instruction that causeth to error. And how do we gauge that? How do we discern that? There has to be a consideration. Matthew Henry tells us there is that which seems designed for instruction, but really tends. There is that which seems designed for instruction, but really tends to the destruction of old men. And this is a statement that many today don't like to hear. It shows us, firstly, that truth and error exists. Truth and error exists. There are many that don't like that. Many that don't like to think that there are those in Christian circles, and not only are there those that preach the truth, but there are those who do not preach the truth. There are those that have to be separated from. There are those that have to be set aside because of what they believe and what they teach. It also tells us, secondly here, that those that do not like to think of these things is most likely because that they are those that set forth error in such a way that it seems designed for instruction. They don't like the rebuke because it is directed to them. We need to be careful about this, and this is what the Church of Christ should be careful about. We are to cease to hear the instruction that leads us into error. We're to stop. We're to set it aside. We're to have no part in it. I once read of a Presbyterian denomination back in Northern Ireland. It's not our own denomination. It was a denomination that preceded it by several years. But in its early days, it was faced with an influx of dispensational theology as opposed to Reformed theology. Young men were being sent forth to train for the ministry overseas in North America. And these young men were coming back with dispensational ideas and doctrines and an erroneous interpretation of the Scriptures. And it was causing problems within the denomination and within the body of Christ. And what did the denomination do? They stood against that which they believed to be wrong. They took a stand and they opposed error and heresy. And they came into being through opposing error and heresy in the first place. They existed because of stands that were taken for truth. And so they weeded out the dispensational teachings. They changed the entire way that their students trained for the ministry. And truth and doctrine mattered to them. They saw a doctrine, they discerned a doctrine they believed was not biblical, and they dealt with it. They identified it. They weighed it up in the balances, and it was found wanting. And what does error do? Error changes our perception and our understanding of Christ. Error changes our practices. Error changes our worship. Error can even change the foundation of our faith, turning it away from a faith that is Christ-centered. And error is very much a dangerous thing. Error causes men to fall. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And Peter here is implying and teaching that the people of God are to be aware, because the error of the wicked can influence them. And they can fall from their own steadfastness. This is why we stand as a separated denomination. We are separated from those who are led away with error. We can think of those who preach a universal gospel that all men will be saved. Or those who preach in the Roman Catholicism. Those who teach those doctrines about justification, not through Christ alone, but through other means. And the lifting up of the saints and Mary and whatever it might be. That's why we're opposed to that. We're not going to come and have fellowship with those who are classed as the cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and bring their so-called gospel into this congregation. Why? Because there is truth and there is error, and we are to stand against the error. Why? Because if we are led away with the error of the wicked, the Word of God says we will fall from our own steadfastness. And we are to be steadfast for Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reminds us of that. Paul says, on the basis of what Christ has accomplished for you, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And error hinders that. There is sound doctrine. The book of Timothy, 1 Timothy reminds us of that. 2 Timothy as well. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Paul says there will come a time when the people will not want sound doctrine. They will want other things. And that brings us, as we consider the instruction that we hear, do we desire sound doctrine? Do we know what it is? When we think of sound doctrine, do we distinguish it as the doctrine found in Scripture, the doctrine that we need, the doctrine we must desire, the doctrine of Christ that fills our hearts and fills our souls and brings us closer to Him? Sound doctrine that builds us and builds our lives on that foundation of Christ. If you were to build a house and you laid your foundation and it was as perfect a foundation as you could get, and then you had to build your house on top of that. Where I come from, we're used to using bricks. I'm not sure there's a lot of brick houses in this part of Canada, but we know houses are built with bricks. Houses are built with a structure of wood. And you build your foundation, and it is as perfect as you can get it. And then what do? You bring in the wood. You build your wooden structure to support the house. And if you found out that that wood was rotted, if it was weak, if it was not strong enough, what would you do? Well, it's okay, I'll keep building. I'll build my house 2-3 stories high with this wood, and then I'm going to put my large family into this house and all my possessions into this house, and all the weight of them Well, we're going to see what will happen. The wood that is not up to standard is going to struggle. It's going to fall. What would you do? You would make sure it's the right material. It's a good material. It's an effective material. So that your house would be steadfast on that good foundation. And dear believer, we have a perfect foundation in Christ. And as we build our lives, we are to build in such a way that it is steadfast. And therefore, the instruction that we need is a steadfast instruction from sound doctrine. From sound doctrine. Dear young person today, do you understand the importance of sound doctrine in your walk with God? Do you understand the importance of discerning that? There's a great need today for all of us, but for those who are young, to have a discerning and submissive heart, to discern the truth, to know what God says, to believe what God says, and to practice it, to practice it. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and the verse 11. The Apostle Paul is speaking to those in Berea. He brings the word of God to them, and he finds something special about these individuals. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They listened, they discerned. Paul came and preached something that was new. And they went to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. Is this true? Is this of Christ? Is this the message that is founded upon the Word of God itself? They discerned. They discerned. They searched the Scriptures. They came to the Scriptures. They didn't have on the glasses, the spectacles of what they believed or what Paul thought. They didn't look at the Scriptures and think, well, Paul said, justification through faith alone in Christ alone. Let's manipulate the Scriptures to come to that conclusion. We believe this. Well, let's manipulate the Scriptures to come to that conclusion. No, that word search means in the original Greek, they came unbiasedly. They came as those in a court would do to make an unbiased decision. They went to the Scriptures. What does the Word of God say? This is what it says. What do we believe? Well, we believe this. Paul teaches this. What matches the Word of God? Well, what Paul says is in line with the Word of God. There was discernment. There was discernment. And dear believer, you and I are to discern. There are so many in this world. We can think of those who are off the world, those who are carnal, those who have their ideas of how the world came into being, those who have their ideas of the world's standards of morality. And we are to consider all of these things in light of God's Word. We are also to look at those within the church who claim to be of Christ. What do they teach? Is it built up? Is it founded upon the Word of God? For you.
We've been enjoying together the devotional messages of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a Baptist pastor from London, England, during the 19th century. And we've been reading from his devotional book, Morning and Evening. And today Spurgeon brings us to Romans chapter 11, verse 26, where the Word of God says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Then Moses sang at the Red Sea. It was his joy to know that all Israel were safe. Not a drop of spray fell from that solid wall until the last of God's Israel had safely planted his foot on the other side of the flood. That done, immediately and the floods dissolved into their proper place again, but not till then. Part of that song was, Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. In the last time, when the elect shall sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb, it shall be the boast of Jesus, of all whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. In heaven there shall not be a vacant throne, for all the chosen race shall meet around the throne, shall bless the conduct of his grace, and make his glories known. As many as God hath chosen, as many as Christ hath redeemed, as many as the Spirit hath called, as many as believe in Jesus, shall safely cross the dividing sea. We're not all safely landed yet. Part of the host have crossed the flood, and part are crossing now. The vanguard of the army has already reached the shore. We are marching through the depths. We are at this day following hard after our leader into the heart of the sea. And let us be of good cheer. The rear guard shall soon be where the vanguard already is. The last of the chosen ones shall soon have crossed the sea, and then shall be heard the song of triumph when all are secure. But oh, if one were absent, oh, if one of his chosen family should be cast away, it would make an everlasting discord in the song of the redeemed and cut the strings of the harps of paradise, so that music could never be extorted from them. The Lord bless this devotional to our hearts again today. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton, and you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. Our program broadcasts each day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. And we look forward to joining with you tomorrow as we consider the Word of God together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.